It's E-Commerce Minute, your weekly dose of e-commerce, tech, and retail news with your hosts, John Suter, Bart Meraz, and Brittany Blackman. The E-Commerce Minute is a production of Sumo Heavy, a digital commerce consulting firm in Brooklyn, New York, and Philadelphia. Find us on the web at sumoheavy.com.
It's E-Commerce Minute, episode 773.
These are the top stories in e-commerce, tech, and retail for the week of November 23rd, 2020. Amazon Pharmacy. Amazon is launching a new online store called Amazon Pharmacy. The store will allow its U.S. customers to order prescription drugs to their homes, with its Prime members receiving free delivery for their medications. Amazon Pharmacy enables customers to complete entire pharmacy transactions on their desktop or mobile device through the Amazon app using a secure pharmacy profile. On your profile, you have health insurance information, payment options, and prescription management. Prime members will receive unlimited free two-day deliveries on orders from Amazon Pharmacy included with their membership. The new Amazon Pharmacy service is sure to bring more pressure on big drugstore chains like CVS Health, Walgreens Boots Alliance, and Walmart that have been investing more in their home medication delivery and digital health operations in anticipation of Amazon's moves. Amazon actually waded into healthcare a while ago, back in 2018, when we reported here on E-Commerce Minute that it bought online pharmacy PillPack, their first huge foray into the industry. So on the news, shares in CVS and Walgreens, U.S. dominant pharmacies, dipped as much as 9 and 10% respectively upon the news. This is no surprise. This is the one we always say, this is the one area that needs some major disruption. I know a lot of people don't like the antitrust or, you know, the anti-competitive, you know, it's they're dominating every field of commerce and industry.
Yeah, but they're not competitive from this. I mean, there's plenty of pharmacies. They're just all over the place.
My jumbled way of saying this is I welcome this because if it creates change in that area, and there's a long way to go, I welcome it. Obviously, the fear is that they'll put a lot of other, you know, things out of business and be, you know, totally anti-competitive. But this healthcare has a long way to go. Now, we've seen a lot of strides, but only in service areas. You know, we're talking, Bart, you're a big proponent of telehealth. I'm sure Amazon will get into that. I'm sure, you know, we've seen some other Amazon related things too. Alexa, where you can use that for healthcare type things. Now, I'm not talking to you right now. Sorry. Blue light one. But we only see that in terms of service. We need a rollback in just.
Well, I mean,
the cost of it. I'm trying to spit my words out here, but you know, I think just everything needs a little bit of a disruption. And if Amazon can, you know, just at least put a spike in it, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you look at all the pharmacies and stuff like that. Like, it's interesting because you don't. In reality, how many people actually know that you can actually shop your medicine and every pharmacy has different pricing, right? Like something GoodRx finally came out and you can literally shop this stuff. You know, it doesn't have to be called into the pharmacy, you know, like it's convenient.
Can we pause on that? So yeah. I've been seeing commercials for GoodRx. What is the deal with that?
So it's like a discount, like selective service. So basically you go on the app and you go, this is medicine I have. Where's the cheapest I can get it at? And you can have a coupon and they give you it logs it in. It's actually really, really good because nobody really knows you can actually stop your prescriptions.
All right. I know we're getting off topic, but how does GoodRx make money?
I think they do. It's kind of like coupon systems, like Rakuten or any one of them. They do it sort of the same kind of deal where they take a little bit. Yeah. Affiliate stuff and things like that. Yeah. I believe that's how it works for them. Or they take, you know, a percentage or two of whatever whatever they send them to. That makes sense. But this is the same thing where all of a sudden, like, what's the convenience against Amazon sending your medications, right? I will tell you because I just got something refilled and I'm using Amazon Pharmacy, how it actually works out.
Okay, cool.
We'll see how it works out.
All right. We look forward to your results. But as I said, there's been the other chains have been doing things in terms of service. CVS did their CarePass program, which we talked about last year. And it's funny, you go into CVS now and every time you check out, they ask you about CarePass and people scratch their heads and go, what? You want me to do what? No. I just want a pack of gum. I want to move on. I think it falls flat when they try to sell it at the register.
The only question I have is, so I think the biggest, so regular, over-the-counter basically medicine, like regular medicine, right? I think the one they really won't be able to do is narcotics, which is very, very like special, and you have to deal with it. And I think that's going to always have to be local.
Yes, because that's right. Because that's local laws, right?
It's not right. So I don't think they can ship it. Narcotics are really, really particular, and every doctor has to be signed off on it. Pharmacists have to sign off, and I think you got to sign. Like, there's a lot more to it
right, than just a regular. Right. You can't be just shipping a bottle of OxyContin across the state lines.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
All right, one thing at a time, I suppose. All right, for the next story, NBC Universal ramps up shoppable content with new platform and PayPal deal. As more consumers are shopping online and a growing array of brands are looking for ways to engage them without investing in traditional TV ads, NBC Universal is setting a wider focus on e-commerce as a revenue source. The company has launched One Platform Commerce to unify a growing array of commerce initiatives like Shoppable TV, NBC Universal Checkout, and Shop Telemundo. NBC Universal launched other e-commerce efforts this year on its Sci-Fi cable network and in October on Spanish language broadcaster Telemundo. The network intends to use a PayPal payment system to help consumers purchase goods from a marketplace of more than 60 retailers who will be able to track payments across all of its media holdings. The payments platforms allow viewers to complete their transactions, including a number of shoppable gift guides soon to be launched online on Bravo, E!, NBC Sports, Sci-Fi Wire, Telemundo, and Today, among their other properties. NBCU's new technology allows consumers to make purchases through links found in social and branded content or by simply scanning a code that pops up on screen with a smartphone, an action that takes them to an online shopping portal where they can complete the transaction. The company's expectation is that seeing the product highlighted during a TV moment will spur viewers to seek out a way to make the transaction.
Every time I see another one go, oh, we're going to shop this thing. It's like, it's been what, 6 years since we said this? Like, I just don't understand. Please explain this to me.
I think there had to be, okay, so there's probably two facets to this, and we're just going to be very basic here, but it's technology and adoption. I think that maybe the technology wasn't there, although we've always dreamed of workarounds, but then again, we are not in the TV business, and we're certainly not in the broadcast business. And the other is you know, adoption. It's like after a while, people tune out of traditional advertising. They don't want to see another commercial. So they're always looking for a new way. So it's, what is it, a crawl? Is it something that pops up in the corner? Is it something, you know, how does this even look? It says in the-
yeah, I mean, we've seen this happen over and over and over where people are trying to figure out how to do content that way, like with QR codes, or didn't they use the music stuff before? What's it called? Brittany, what's the one that recognizes?
Shazam.
They used Shazam before for that. But like, who's going to pull their phone out that way? I just don't get it. Like, if you're watching content, like, people are on their phone anyway while watching TV. But in reality, are you just going to scan a QR?
Honey, stop the show. I want to scan this barcode. I don't see it.
Right, because QR codes kind of fell on their own. Like,
they're around for different reasons.
They
like,
are.
They're going to go away.
But people loved them real quick, and they were in everyone's marketing, and then they slowly started dialing back just as fast as they started.
Yeah, and that goes, I mean, Bart, you probably know better than I would. How far back do QR codes go? I mean, we're going on almost 20 years now, and there were some...
a long, long time.
Yeah.
Remember the Q-Cat?
Yeah, the Q-Cat. That was great. So... Brittany is right in that back then I was a freelance designer and I used to have a lot of clients go, please put this giant QR code on there. And I was like, nobody's ever going to use that. And mostly I was right. But, and I was one of those like QR codes is stupid kind of thing, but I've kind of come around to it in that there are uses for it. And there's some edge cases where it's good for restaurants. It's good for small businesses. But in general, I can't imagine myself sitting there watching TV and go, ooh, stop. Let me scan that barcode. it seems to be a big disconnect for me.
I think barcodes are more of a utility than they are marketing things. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, more utility you're starting things like, yeah. Right. Like you set up something or you have to set up on your phone.
I'm
like,
looking at it right now. I just bought one of those little Wyze cameras and here's your setup manual. And there's those little QR code. Perfect. Perfect use case.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not a advertising thing. It just makes no sense.
Well, all right. So we'll try to look at the bright spot here. Execs believe consumer acceptance of this new shopping technology will be accelerated by the pandemic. Well, any kind of shopping is. So that's kind of, you know, we'll let that one slide. The company estimates retailers, consumer product marketers, and direct consumer companies spend more than $50 billion on commerce enabled by social venues such as Google, Amazon, and Facebook. Yes, we can definitely say that social commerce is definitely increased. How video works into it, we don't know. Marketers allocate more than 40% of their ad budgets to those sites, some of which NBCU hopes to capture. All right, so that makes sense. So the percentage of marketers who use shoppable video ads is set to grow 40% this year from 33% in 2019 and 25% in 2018 as advertisers seek to boost direct sales. Marketers expect to increase their media spending on paid search 26% this year and on social media 25%, making those channels the fastest growing categories in digital, the IAB found. So yeah, shoppable video, I think it's here in certain instances, but integrated into televised content and especially with goofy QR codes, that's a thumbs down for me.
I don't know. Agree.
It's kind of weird.
Yes.
All right, let's move on from that. The next story, Google Pay relaunches. Google Pay is relaunching. Google Pay is relaunching for both Android and iOS with a ton of new features. It turns the app from a tap-to-pay card repository or peer-to-peer payment system into a more all-encompassing service. The new app has been already rolled out in the US. The new version of the app will have three new tabs: Pay, which includes peer-to-peer payments as well as your transaction history using tap-to-pay; Explore, which will be a place where Google will offer deals and discounts; and finally, Insights, which will allow you to connect your bank accounts to get a searchable overview of your finances. Users will be given the interesting option to allow Google Pay to crawl your Gmail inbox and your Google Photos account to look for receipts. That's actually pretty cool. Google will use OCR technology to auto-scan them and integrate them into your finance tracking. So that's sort of like Expensify kind of sort of did that, right, Bart? Mm-hmm. Didn't you still use that?
Yep.
I used to be a big user of that. Google claims it will not share or sell data to third parties, but the app does have an opt-in for personalized deals based on transaction history. So that's sort of like Gmail. They crawl your mail and give you ads based on your mail. It's trade. Everything's a trade. Everything's a trade for privacy. Coming up in 2021, Google will partner with some banks to directly offer fully online checking and savings accounts inside Google Pay, a service Google is calling Plex. Tech reporter Casey Newton notes that Google has found success breaking into new markets by offering free alternatives to existing products. Think Gmail or Google Docs, which, yeah, well, we all know that. This is very interesting in that they're going to be a full financial portal for people. Mm-hmm. I have other accounts that are just like this, but it's interesting that Google is doing it. Listen, privacy things aside, I think they'll do it better than anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, they have like, listen, there's plenty of that hook up to your like Gmail and look at your receipts and blah, 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 blah. But it is also, you know, them being integrated and it's Google, it'd be great. I won't use it because I have Apple Pay and Wallet and that's all integrated for me. So same. I think it's a better experience. Why would I, you know, I have an iPhone, so why would I do that? If I had an Android, that's a different story.
Yeah,
I mean,
go ahead.
The funny thing about Android is like, if you have a pure Android and you use everything Google, it is the best. It's pretty wild, good experience, but we're still stuck on iPhones.
So you're actually pointing out an ecosystem issue in that if you're enmeshed in Apple, you're generally not going to use this type of Google product. But I find myself dipping my toe and using certain services, but you're right. If you've got, you know, especially when you talk about using Apple products and everything comes from an app store and that ecosystem, to connect another thing is kind of, you know, clunky. But I think for most people, if they use it right, I'm really pro financial management type stuff where people can get a better snapshot of how they spend their money, because to go and say, well, where am I financially? And then you sit down and you have to check five different accounts or more if, you know, you happen to be that type of person. To put everything in one place is great. It gives you a better snapshot of where you're at so that you're not either overspending or not putting your money in places that you shouldn't. That being said, privacy people are going to be all over this, because what are they doing to offer the service? What are you trading? You're trading your data, you're trading your information, and that's Google. So
classic.
Caveat emptor, isn't that the phrase?
I was just impressed with how detailed this launch is. Like, there's so much going into the whole thing already. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of features here. I have to be honest, I may go and just check this out. I don't know if I would use it as a full-time thing, but I'm definitely going to check it out. It's pretty cool. And because it's 2020, the Google Pay app will also feature something akin to stories in Instagram. Bart, you'll love this. Tap on the blue icons on top of the insight screen, you get brief summaries of financial information. Google Pay might think it's interesting for you, like upcoming bills, how much you've spent, how much you've sent directly to friends, large transactions, and also fancy dance moves. That last part I just made up.
I hope you left that in. I mean, come on, that'd be really fun.
So wait, so there is some information about privacy. A stranger and perhaps telling privacy option is that those who want to get personalized deals will have the option to agree to a 3-month trial of allowing Google to analyze their transaction history to customize their offers. After 3 months, they'll be prompted if they want to keep using that part of the service. So they will have some privacy lockdown. That's
they have to. I mean, if they're using payment stuff, they absolutely have to.
Okay, right. So maybe I'm reading too much into this because obviously they're not going to go through your bank accounts. It's going to be kind of like Mint and whatever. They're just using an API just to feed the data through, right? Correct. Am I using those words right, Bart?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you kind of, there's a lot more rules to them and they have to do it. Yeah.
Right. We got rules here.
We got rules here.
Much like Venmo, you'll be able to set up group payments, put multiple people in a chat and let them send and request money from each other. Like if you're splitting a restaurant bill, that's pretty cool. They're also ramping up other ways to pay with this app. Underneath people and businesses are a couple new buttons called Get Gas and Order Food. The food option ties into Google's existing food ordering system that is compatible with enough systems for the company to claim it works with over 100,000 restaurants. That's actually pretty cool as well. You'll be able to pay for gas or parking directly in the app instead of punching through the options at the gas pump or parking lot pay station. Google says it will work with 30,000 locations. Boy, I keep digging deeper in here. This is actually pretty bonkers. Give it a try. Google Pay. It's all new, man. It's all new. It's all brand spanking new. Lots of features. We'll go check it out.
Things and stuff.
What did you say?
I said things and stuff.
Thingsandstuff.com. All right. Next story. Walmart and Target, third quarter results, bonkers. Walmart reported outstanding third quarter results, aided by the pandemic. The biggest cash flow for both was in e-commerce. Target reported a combined digital and physical location sales increase of 20.7% for stores open at least a year. The chain's online business jumped 155% during the quarter, while the dollars rung up at its physical locations increased 9.9%. Target continued to utilize the growing acceptance of its same-day services, including in-store and drive-up pickup and deliveries made by its Shipt subsidiary. Target also announced it was doubling up on the number of drive-up parking spots with its lots, as the service available through its app has proven increasingly popular with customers during the pandemic. I will second that. Meanwhile, Walmart was not exactly sitting back and chilling during third quarter either. The retail giant posted a 6.4% gain in same-store sales, picking up market share in food, general merchandise, and health and wellness categories. The retailer's online sales jumped 79% during the quarter as its various pickup and delivery options continue to be a hot commodity. Walmart also formally announced its Walmart Plus unlimited delivery service from stores for a $98 annual subscription fee. The chain also said it has more than doubled the number of personal shoppers it has on the job to fill customers' pickup and delivery orders during the holiday season. Of course, the shift from physical retail to online shopping was already happening way before COVID-19. Walmart's online sales rose 74% in Q1 pre-pandemic, and Target's rose 141%. But stay-at-home orders accelerated the shift further. Walmart is convinced that most of the behavior change will persist way beyond the pandemic. That seems to be a trend here. Dick's is a useful case study. Dick's launched curbside pickup early in the pandemic and found that 75% of its online orders in Q2 were fulfilled by stores, either shipped to a customer from their nearest store to increase shipping speed, or picked up curbside rather than shipped from a warehouse. Curbside pickup helped Dick's deliver record Q2. In Q3, even after Dick's reopened stores to in-store shoppers, curbside continued to thrive. Bopus, baby. I love the bopus. Let me skip ahead here because one notable report I saw the other day, Best Buy also kept up its blazing pandemic growth through the third quarter with U.S. sales up 21% year over year across the business to 10.9 billion. Most of that growth was driven by comparable sales, which rose 22.6% domestically, despite declines in mobile phone sales. Online revenue in the U.S. spiked 173.7%, hitting $3.8 billion with a B, while digital share of Best Buy's total domestic revenue more than doubled, coming to 35.2% in Q3. I point out Best Buy because we have been saying for the last 3 years, put a nail in the coffin, whatever metaphor you want to use, for these bricks and mortar type things, and that Best Buy was slowly just becoming a showroom. They continue to innovate and do things and keep the customers coming to their stores. So good for Best Buy. What do you guys think about the rest of these numbers?
They're interesting.
Shook that Best Buy. I'm just really shook that they're growing. Because yeah. I remember going there my freshman year of college to get my laptop. Like, I vividly remember this. And we were the only people in the entire Best Buy. Like,
yeah, but they're
right
using,
before college.
Yeah, I'm so now, shook. Now you got to look at it. You know, Best Buy is now either doing Bopus or they're sending out. They're using them as warehouses.
So. They'll block out half, because the Best Buys are always these giant warehouse looking type stores. So basically now they'll just block off half the store and use the back of it for shipping. Walmart's doing that. Target's doing that. And Walmart is doing a lot of this, you know, little regional centers. Like they'll just rent a store that's gone out of business and just do their last mile from there, which I think is pretty smart. And I think Best Buy is capitalizing on that and just using their footprint.
John, when do you think somebody like Walmart, right, you would think that they could do that? Is they, like you said, the regional one, mm-hmm. they'll just have Bopus there. Like, there'll be no actual store. You just kind of do like a drive-through.
I could definitely see that. And
right? That would make the most sense, right? You just have like this regional small warehouse that, you know, delivery happens to, and then you just do a drive-through.
I'm old enough to remember when you had the Sears catalog shopping and you would order from the Sears catalog and go up, drive up to the store at the mall and pick up your stuff from there. It's the same thing, just using your computer, not a catalog and a phone. So yeah, I could definitely see that. And sad to say, with a lot of retail and malls closing down, we always talk about how people will reuse malls and mall space. It's something that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. See, now I got this like in this, my head, like, it'd be awesome to do it that way. Like, you know how Home Depot has that big drive-through for the construction side?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just doing that for like just regular Walmart shopping, right? You just have stores and people just run around and do it. We've talked about this at the beginning of all this, right? Where we were like, it's kind of hard for them to do like this Bopus thing, but I think they finally are trying to figure this out.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It's just there's nobody in the store and they literally just throw it in your car.
Yep. Bopus is here to stay, kids, and I get to use the word Bopus.
We used to laugh so hard at Bopus.
Used to laugh at Bopus
because I would love it so much.
I love the Bopus. All right, we're running a little long. We'll just briefly touch. There's a bunch of e-commerce IPOs coming up. We have Affirm and Wish. Affirm is the buy now, pay later. That's from one of the PayPal mafia dudes. Wish, which is basically you can order anything you want, but it'd probably be wrong or different or not what the picture showed or weird. I don't understand. Wish is just a big drop shipping thing, right, Bart? I mean, it's just weird drop shipping stuff. I've heard so many funny tales, but it's funny to look at the valuation. In 2012, they were worth $68 million, and in 2019, they're worth $11.2 billion with a B. We reported $1.7 billion in revenue the first three quarters of 2020. It's crazy. Any other?
And mind you, they do it on like $2 items, right?
$2 items, you know, so they're working on volume. They're just really cranking it out. But I just love looking at social media and just looking at the weird Wish pictures that people post. It's like, how do they know I want this?
There's this one
really good at it.
Funny TikTok account. And the girl just like reads really funny stuff that doesn't make sense on items on Wish and like Shein and, you know, those like overseas like bulk companies. Like there'll be like a saying on like a shirt or like a welcome hat that's like, hello, trees and tissue box. Like just like something completely random that doesn't make any sense. It's so funny.
Well, we got a package the other day and it was something like that. It was just like, what it wasn't batteries not included, it was something like, don't include batteries. I was like, is that to us knowing batteries included, or is it a guy who is packing the box saying do not include batteries? It literally said it, and I'm like, and my wife was like, this should say batteries not included. I'm like, well, that's what I'm saying. Does that supposed to be for us or the guy who packing the box? I'm not sure. Not include batteries.
That's too funny. All right, that's all for this episode. We'll be back next Friday to break down all the week's e-commerce, tech, and retail news. We'll hopefully have numbers on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And also, don't forget our long-form podcast, In the Ring, available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, y'all have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you had a good turkey day. Stay safe, and we'll see you on the internet next Friday. Bye, guys. We're supposed to say bye.
Oh, bye. I'm sorry, guys. I guess we're just picks over you talking.
We're trying to work out this outro, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going too well. Have a good weekend.